Limited tickets available. T's and C's apply.
702.
Weekend Breakfast.
With Googs Mshungu. Let's walk the talk.
It's 11 minutes after 7 o'clock. Welcome back to Weekend Breakfast. Joined now on the line by motoring expert Warren Tucker to speak about the impact of the short supply of cars, but also calls to scrap the fuel levy as the petrol price hike looms. And I was asking earlier, have you crunched the numbers? Have you worked it out? How much more you'll be paying if the projected fuel price increase comes into effect in the coming days? And do you agree that there should be some interventions, the scrapping of the fuel levy, the scrapping of contributions to the RAF, and the deregulation of fuel in the country, which are some of the proposals being made by the Democratic Alliance. Warren, good morning. Good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Googs. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Have you done the numbers? Have you crunched the numbers to figure out how much more you might be paying for a full tank in the next couple of weeks?
We're going to be paying a lot more money for fuel. Listen, if you look at the roads at the moment, let's take the N1. Just look around you. How many vehicles there are big SUVs? On average, those SUVs are about anything between a 60 to an 80 liter fuel tank, right? Imagine paying 25 rand a liter for fuel. Right, and filling up that specific vehicle. If you are cruising around in one of these SUV models, it's like almost 2,000 rand plus just to fill up the tank.
Yeah.
And basically, you're not getting more mileage out of the fuel tank. You're getting the same mileage.
Yeah, but paying
just
more.
Spending more money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I do want to say, like, I do have some regrets about getting a 60-liter vehicle this year because, like you say, you know, to fill it up currently is about, give or take, about 1,300 rand. Because it's 60 liters. And then if there is this increase of 3 rand a liter, I'm looking at an additional sort of 120. So it's going to cost just under 1,500 rand for a full tank of petrol. But as you say, it's not like I'm getting more mileage. Same car, same mileage. It's just going to cost me more each time.
Yeah, so you're forking out more money at the pumps. So yesterday, obviously, as a group of vehicle dealers, we were having conversations around this specific topic. And there's a video that's been circulating at the moment. It's actually sent to me of a gentleman that does the calculations on how much the fuel actually costs in South Africa. And he arrives at a number of 10.50 rand. So I don't know how true it is. If anybody out there seen the video and can comment on it, please tweet me at the car guy Warren. Let's talk about it. Let's see how accurate this thing is. But what he essentially does is he takes the dollar barrel price of crude oil, which is in obviously US gallons. He reverse engineers it to liters, works the costs from US cents to rands, and then goes from there according to the levies that some of the levies that are loaded on the fuel, and he arrives at a number of 10.50 rand per liter.
Yes.
According
to the DA in their call for the slashing of the fuel levy, how they work it out is the real fuel price is only 48% of what we're paying. And then 33% is taxes and levies, 14% is retail and wholesale margins, and then 6% is storage and distribution costs. So it does sound as if you were saying this particular person came to around 10 rand, and the Democratic Alliance is saying it's the real fuel price is 48% of what we're currently paying. Those numbers sound around the same. That actually the bulk of what we're paying, and this has been a thing that's come up for many years, that the fuel price itself, the basic fuel price, isn't all that high. The thing that starts adding is taxes and levies, for instance, which in this instance apparently is around 33% of the fuel price.
100%. Look, the thing is, the around the fuel levies and stuff, so we told that the fuel levies used, part of the money is used there to fix the roads. Okay, Googs, you live in Johannesburg. I'm sure you drive around Sandton four ways. Basically, any road in Johannesburg, you'll see that the roads have potholes. Okay, so currently, if you look up William Nicol, all the potholes on that road have been repaired by Discovery. Because when Discovery Health has finished repaired the pothole, they spray their name on the pothole. Okay, so I understand that that's a joint venture with them and the council. But just look around you for a bit and look at the condition of some of the roads. Now, if you look at the fuel levy, that's a couple of billion rand collected every single month. So one has to wonder where or what's going on with that. I do understand that part of that is the road accident fund, but not so long ago, the road accident fund had no money. So we've obviously got to interrogate that and see what's happening with those funds. But I think that given the fact that the rail system has collapsed, remember, a lot of goods were moved up from Durban via the rail system. Okay, and yes, I'm sure there are certain trains that are still, but predominantly right now, goods are being transported via truck. You just need to look on the roads at the amount of trucks that are on the road. Trucks use diesel. Okay, so that cost to transport that item from the port in Durban to Johannesburg, because our port in Durban is our main source of imports and where we do most of our exports, all those costs get pushed up. When those costs get pushed up, those costs then get pushed onto the consumer in terms of the price of whatever goods are coming in increases. So we have a knock-on effect with this fuel price. Now, I mean, if you think about it, the minute fuel goes up, everything goes up. Your cost of food, your costs in your household, because fuel prices, your fuel costs go up, inflation rises, and then the interest rate goes up as well. So you should be sort of caught in a catch-22 here. So what does South Africa do? I mean, what would solve this particular conundrum we find ourselves in?
Yeah, I mean, this week we heard from Minister in the Presidency, Mondli Kungubele, who said government is still debating the extension of the fuel price relief measures. Obviously, we're getting ready to pay 25 rand a litre. So we're still not sure if, because you'll remember in March, there was this reprieve. We were given a break from the fuel levy, and that was 1.50 rand. Look, it's not a lot of money, but I think we'll take anything as consumers at the moment. And there has been this discussion that there's been this call that the relief should be extended, especially if we're going to pay 3 rand more for a litre of petrol. But there hasn't been a decision on whether that's going to be kept, that doing that temporary relief with regards to the fuel levy.
100%. Look, they were chatting and looking. If you buy fuel in Eswatini, Mozambique, Botswana, Tanzania, and Kenya, it's around 5 rand less. The average is around 5 rand less than what we pay in here. Bear in mind, a lot of these countries get their fuel from us, because we have a refinery here. So the fuel is refined here, purchased here, transported to those countries, okay? So a lot of the fuel is purchased from South Africa, but it's all 5 rand cheaper. Now, if you look at these countries, countries like Botswana, Tanzania, and Kenya, right, they are all active countries. They've all got industry. I think that the Botswana's currency is still slightly stronger than the South African one, by not much. But all these countries have managed to work out a way to keep their fuel costs around 5 rand cheaper than what you pay in South Africa, right? Remember, we tax quite heavily in South Africa with basically almost everything. So these taxes are just, you know, they rack up after a while. And it erodes your disposable income to the point where you might not have any. All you are doing is basically living month to month. So definitely, like you say, these levies need to be relooked. They might have worked in the past, but what worked 20 years ago might not work today. Mm-hmm. And we've got to look at a different way of getting your taxes that you need, maybe a different funding mechanism. There's all these conversations around, well, government uses this levy because taxes don't pay tax. Well, I say, well, okay, if that is the truth, which I don't know, if they're not paying tax, then you've got to come up with a mechanism to collect that tax. You can't then impose such a big, massive levy because that's a way that you see that you can gain or collect that tax, those tax funds, But from that point, think along these lines. This Russia-Ukraine war has basically, there's knock-on effects here because it ties into everything that's going on, apart from the cost of Brent crude oil shooting through the roof. If we look at the other issues we've got in South Africa in the motoring industry, right, we've got a shortage of vehicles, shortage of new vehicles. The shortage of new vehicles has driven up the price of second-hand vehicles, right? But the second-hand vehicle market at the moment, if you bought anything in 2017, 2018, 2019, brand new, and sold it today, chances are you're going to make money on that vehicle because there are no new vehicles coming in. Mm-hmm. Compound the fact that we've got floods that happen in KZN. The Toyota factory there was hard hit. You must remember that factory produces for local consumption the Hilux, the Fortuna, the Corolla Cross, the Quest, the Hi-Ace Figuile, and a couple of Hino models are produced there. Mm. So look at those vehicles now. So we've taken them now off the list, right? So if you look at April, at the month of April, with all those public holidays and the rest of it, Toyota South Africa sold 9,000 vehicles across South Africa. Bear this in mind, okay? They've currently had to scrap thousands of water-damaged vehicles. Of all those water-damaged vehicles, only 500 vehicles have passed and will be have been able to pass inspection and would be retailed. There's a couple of thousand vehicles that are going to be destroyed because, obviously, remember, the factory cannot sell a water-damaged vehicle because they cannot guarantee the warranty on the vehicle. They can't say that this vehicle's not going to give problems. A water-damaged vehicle is a hit and miss. It might give you electrical problems, might not. Mm, but the safest thing for the factory to do is to scrap those vehicles.
Sure. Warren, you were mentioning a video earlier on where someone calculated the price of the fuel. And we received a WhatsApp message about this video. Take a listen.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, guys. Good morning. This is Joe. I just heard the gentleman talking about the guy sending a video, petrol costing $10. I've seen the video and I think it's outdated because he starts off with a US dollar price of $42 for a barrel of oil. I think it's more than $120 today. So it's a bit outdated. So it's not $10, probably maybe $20 or more. Cheers.
Okay.
There we go.
There's another WhatsApp here where someone asked, it's Fazil saying, why is South Africa not benefiting from Sasol? Which I think was the point you were also making about, other countries getting their supply from us, but it doesn't seem we're benefiting from that.
Yeah. You see, again, remember something that, like we said earlier, majority of the cost of fuel is obviously your levy. It's all the taxes and stuff that's on there. Now, that's a question we do need to pose because the fuel, remember that oil arrives here as crude oil. We refine the oil. We refine the oil at our Sasol plants, and we take that oil and turn that oil into petrol and diesel and various other derivatives that they use for the plastic industry and a whole lot of other stuff. Now, a lot of companies also import their fuel, right? So I know that Shell imports their 95 octane fuel. So there's a lot of companies that import fuel already refined, already ready to sell. So again, I think we do need to, the gentleman that's in that messaging is 100% correct. We do need to interrogate these or ask these questions because Sasol was set up to keep the cost of fuel down in South Africa. So is this still relevant? Is this still something that works for us? We need to ask these questions and see. Because I can tell you, the minute the fuel price goes up, okay, the minute the fuel price goes up, we sit with a situation where everything goes up, business slows down. Couple that with load shedding, couple that with a very high unemployment rate, and things seem to look like they could progressively get worse. And you know, the whole, for me, the whole idea of having a government is that the government is supposed to allow the people that live in the country to thrive. So policies and everything else that they put in place must allow for good business, must allow for people to thrive, not for people to suffer. That's my take on it.
I asked a question earlier whether anyone else has kind of done the numbers and figured out how much they may be paying with the upcoming fuel increase, and we received a WhatsApp on this issue of the cost of filling up.
Morning, 702. Regarding the petrol price, we should actually look at it, how much we paid a year ago on a tank. I think a year ago I filled up, went to Cape Town, it cost me just over 900. This year I filled up, it cost me 1,300. So over only a 1 year period, that's 500 rand per tank. That's what we should be looking at in only 1 year.
Yeah. And I mean, for me, when I started driving in, was it end of January? I was paying 21 rand a litre. It is 5 months later, and I'm about to pay almost 24 rand a litre. That's wild to me. That is, you know, and I even said, like, for me, I've only ever known as a driver the petrol price at the current, and at the time it was 21 rand. I've only known it at the current rate. But even in that time, I've only had my car less than a year, less than 6 months, actually. But the price has gone up twice in that time.
I can talk on that point as well. I mean, I can remember days where the fuel was 7 rand a litre and people just, you know, people were in an uproar. How can fuel be 7 rand a litre? Well, guess what? It's almost 25 rand a litre. And it looks like there's no end in sight. You know, there were talks at one point about basically capping the fuel price for the year. So purchasing at a certain price and capping the fuel price for a year, not having these changes every 3 or 4 months, you know, but obviously based on your barrel costs of oil and what happens in the markets and the rest of it. I mean, currently paying for a barrel of Brent crude oil, it's $115 right now per barrel. It looks to hit. I mean, I'm just looking at this, at the commodities costs online. I mean, 126 at one point in March per barrel. So right now we're looking at $115 per barrel of Brent crude oil. So it's a very high price. And at the end of the day, this comes off the back of the issue around Russia and the invasion of Ukraine. Russia being a massive producer of oil. All of this has sort of pushed up the cost or the demand of oil in the world. And yeah, this is where we find ourselves. Now, interestingly enough, you know that South Africa, there's a platform that South Africa's got where it's called Mosgas. That's owned by Sasol. That's a platform that they use. I stand to be corrected, but that's also to keep your fuel costs down, that they derive certain products from the gas and oil off on that platform. There was also a system once upon a time where they would use because South Africa used to have very high octane fuel. We used to have Sasol Super 100 at one point. But that was obviously at the time, given the emissions, given the cost to produce the fuel, there were heavy metal elements in the fuel, and that's why we've changed. South Africa's gone 93 and 95. You know, these platforms or these systems that were built, that were put in place, we've got huge fuel pipelines. Not so long ago, there were issues where people were breaking into these pipelines and stealing fuel from these pipelines. So all these things all these issues that we've got need to be sewn up in order to help alleviate these high costs. Because if fuel is getting stolen, that also becomes an issue where you get knock-on effects of that.
We received a WhatsApp which gives a bit of context in the challenges in other countries as well. The WhatsApp says President Joe Biden of the US is also running out of options to tame rampaging fuel prices. He'd vowed to do everything in his power to fight record-setting petrol and diesel prices. I think they're up to about $4 a gallon now. But the message says he's up against a stark reality. There are few options for taming the surge. While Biden has unleashed an unprecedented amount of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, other tools at the administration's disposal would come at the expense of environmental protection and have little effect on fuel costs stoked by strain. So there has been this challenge also in the U.S. I think they're currently at $4.60 per gallon at the moment. They are expecting that by possibly July, that could reach $5 a gallon as well. So not Americans not having a good time of it either.
No. And remember, they have oil fields. They produce their own oil. They've got wells in Texas and the rest of it. They're getting their own oil from the ground. So that's their oil that they are then taking, then refining and selling. So obviously there's oil being imported to mitigate the shortages. But remember that the spot of or the price of Brent crude oil is in dollars. And obviously that's determined by supply and demand. And if there's more demand than supply, it will push the price of oil up. So, at some point, something's got to give, as you mentioned earlier. It will climb, and where do we go from there? You know, if you're paying 30 rand a litre for fuel, then does it become worth owning a vehicle? You could then look at other alternatives.
It will be time to get a horse. 30 rand a litre is at the point at which you need a horse, you need a donkey, something. But for me, I can't imagine. I don't know if I can keep my car at 30 rand a litre.
Yeah, listen, I'm pretty sure somebody will pull in a message based on the horse comment and tell us that it might not be that economical to keep a horse
Fair.
And feed a horse given the distances that we need to travel in South Africa. You know, I think a lot of this could have been mitigated if we just had a credible public transport system where, you know, you could get where you needed to go safely, in a safe environment that was run on time professionally, people using the bus, getting to work
trains.
On time,
yeah,
and the trains and the rest of it, that would all sort of mitigate some of, you know, these prices. You know, the rail system, if the rail system was fully operational, more goods being transported by a rail instead of on the roads, that would also help, consumers. But again, what do we do? What do we do as South Africans? Obviously, us being put in this situation, we need people that are able to think out of the box and look at the situation and come up with something that will help. Because to be fair, the poorest of the poor are going to be hit extremely hard by an increase like this. Imagine the price of paraffin. It's winter. There's load shedding. People need to keep warm. You know, all these things, like I said earlier, have knock-on effects.
Warren, always a pleasure having you on the show. Thank you so much for your time.